Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now you're very welcome back, and I'm delighted to say in studio, John Giles. John, it's been a long time since me and you have had a chat on the radio.
Yeah, so. I don't know where you're going, Joe. I thought you'd left us.
Nathan Murphy won't let me come near Thursdays. He won't let me. So I've loads to talk to you about. I mean, I was curious. It struck me a good week to talk to you, given what we saw with Spurs and City the other night. So much talk about the pitch.
Yeah.
And I imagined talking to you on the Thursday saying, you should have seen it in my day, pal. It was not pretty.
Yeah. Well, I don't like talking about it, Joe, to be honest, you know, because it looks like you're making excuses from people of my generation. But the pitches were dreadful, Joe, you know. But funny enough, you see, I was brought up with that. Like, as a schoolboy, I was playing on bad pitches. So there was no problem. There was no gain in talking about the pitch. Do you know what I mean? Or some of them were particularly bad. Like, we played at Wembley in the Cup semi-final against Chelsea, and they had the horse show beforehand. Now, that was a disappointment because Wembley was the place that everybody wanted to play. And in those days, to play at Wembley, you had to play for England or somebody else in an international match or Cup finals. So it was a big treat, you know, every year for players to go to Wembley.
Because the pitch was so good as much as anything.
Yes, exactly. Well, it was a lovely grassy pitch. You know, coming off the pitches where at that stage they dried out. So you had three different pitches over the year. You had the pitches were regrassed, as we would say, in the summer. But what happened in those days, Joe? You see, there was no drainage. There was no drainage on the pitches that we have today. So, like, up to September, it was okay. It was fine. You had the pitches. Then you get the rain, right? Now the pitches are cutting up. They get muddy. The grass disappears, and then you go into the winter with that, and then you come into the spring, where they dry out again and there's no grass left on the pitches. Yeah. So there was very seldom they were any good. Mostly they'd be level. They could be level, which was okay.
You could live with that, yeah.
You get away with that. But when it was muddy, Joe, the ball's coming to you. Say you were trying to hit a long pass and the ball is rolling to you, right? And because you don't know, it's going to...
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. So, I mean, it certainly affected the game the other night, as it would, of course. Those players are less used to it.
Yes.
Did you get to a point where the ball's been fed to you from right back and you want to play one around the corner first time? Could you get to a point where you could almost predict the bobbles and you really got into the pitch, or was it always just a bloody nuisance for first time?
Well, you could never predict it, Joe, because that's what... I mean, if you could predict it, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
But you had to live with it. You know, you had to live. You couldn't come off the pitch in those days and say, oh, the pitch was terrible today, because most of them were bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you just had to get on with it. Now, there were a few times that I was knocking a long pass. You did have to judge as best you possibly could. But there were times, obviously, bobbles at the last second and you can't do it. But funny enough, you got used to that as well.
Right.
Like, it wasn't good. And when you were playing on a good pitch, it was... We didn't come into that suddenly. Like, when I was playing as a kid in the Phoenix Park and all the grounds, like you don't suddenly become a professional footballer. You go through the schoolboys, and that's what you lived with.
Yeah.
You know, like, if the lads were playing on it now, they'd say, oh, hang on. Can't play on that pitch, it's unplayable.
Yeah.
And that's why they would suffer, as you said, at Wembley. They're not used to it today. Now, Wembley, by the standards of my day and before, wasn't too bad. I would have settled for that every week.
I was just thinking, I mean, it was far from a horror show. And so I wonder, you know what Pep Guardiola has tried to do in recent years and did it at Barcelona? Would that type of football be possible?
No. It wouldn't have been possible, Joe. You couldn't play out from the goalkeeper.
Too risky.
You just couldn't.
Yeah.
Because like the ball's bobbling, it's heavy, and you see what again? Like in the old days, you know, you talk about the pressing game today. There was pressing games in my day, very much so.
Sure.
I mean, nobody was allowed to play. And the thing was never changed in football. When you have the ball, you use as well you can. When you haven't, you got to get it back.
Mm.
And the great. I mean, I played in a team, Leeds, were absolutely brilliant at it. You wouldn't give a team an inch on it. But you just couldn't do it, Joe. And I must say, as well, it's become a habit in the game now. There's lots of times they're doing it when they shouldn't be doing it.
Sure.
I don't care about the modern game. All they say, oh, you're an old-timer, modern game. I see the goalkeeper passing out the fullbacks under pressure. That is wrong. I don't care whether it's Guardiola or anybody else and say, oh, you're an old-timer. You couldn't. I think it's wrong. There's times that you got to knock. And actually, there's times that Manchester City knocked it long.
Mm.
And got a goal from it.
No, for sure.
Now, I'm not saying that I would encourage him. I would encourage him. I always did encourage the team to play out for the back when it was on to play. But I see them now passing the ball to a fullback. Yeah. He's under pressure.
Well, isn't it interesting? It's become a game within a game. It's your kick out. We're going to press you. And you're under big pressure. If you can beat the press, the other team have almost pushed so many men forward. If you can get it through them to your own men, you might be in at their back four quickly. Yeah. And that is the game within the game at the moment.
Well, that was always the game, Joe.
Sure. But it's especially
because I'm going back to my time.
Sure, go ahead, Joe.
And we're playing against Arsenal, for example. Arsenal, a good team. Peter Story is marking me.
Yeah.
Right. Peter, a bit of an animal. He's a really good marker, but he was good at it. So I had to beat.
Yeah.
Didn't let you play.
Yeah.
He actually was very, very, very tight. But you had, actually, I think the technical qualities of the players in my day were better than they are today.
Do you really? Because that would not be the consensus at all.
No, I know because, the box-to-box players and they're supposed to be fitter now than my time and the pitches are better and all that. But I know, I see midfield players particularly, Joe, loads of them, and they have a choice, the ball's played into them, between turning it towards, away from their own goal or towards their own goal. And I'm telling you, 90% turn towards their own goal.
Yeah. They're risk averse.
Well, it's again, I think the stats come into it. The completed passes, there's this and there's that. There's a lot of stats come into the game now, which I think is a load of nonsense. Mm. And it gives false impressions of a player. So if I was a midfield player playing today, I could go through a match and have 100% passing accuracy. Because I just wouldn't. See, when you're playing in the middle field, first of all, you've got to get turned. The first thing you have to look for, can I put somebody through? That's your first thing. Can I put somebody through? That's the main thing. And sometimes, it's on, but it's a bit dodgy. But it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
So you give it. So it's knocked away. That's an uncompleted pass.
Mm. But it was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do. Yeah. So there was no stats in mind. And I don't believe in the stats at all because the midfield players now. You take Dyer, who's I'm not a fan of Dyer's at Spurs. He could well have 100% passing accuracy.
Yeah.
Because he never looks forward. Mm. So you pass the fullback, you get it back, you pass the fullback, you get it back. And I think, I think actually the technique of the players in my day, particularly midfield players, was better.
Interesting. Who do you like? Who looks forward today?
Well, I mean, I think Modric was the player of the tournament,
World Cup.
He's a master player.
Do you know a funny thing about Modric? It was Harry Redknapp who first said it and made me realise it. He said he never uses his left foot.
No, well.
Ever.
No, do you know why though, Joe? He doesn't have to,
because
he's got time and space to do it. Mm. Like there was, do you remember hearing about Puskas?
Oh yeah,
Puskas was one of the great Hungarian players, left-footed, deadly left-foot.
Yeah,
actually played against him a couple of times, but he was deadly left-foot, great player. And he was asked one time. He says, I can only use one foot at a time.
Yeah,
well, he could make. See, it's time and space, Joe. You see, when I'm listening to the people talking about football, they never mention using space. It's too technical. Time and space is everything, and what the great players do. When you're on the pitch, there's 20 players competing for space, right? And the ball's in motion all the time. Now, what the great players do, they know where to be before the ball is there, right? It's called positional sense. You never hear people talking about positional sense. Mm. They'll talk about box to box, this, that, and the other. They never talk about positional sense. Positional sense is 90% of the game.
Because you're making it easy on yourself.
Well, you have to get in position on a pitch that you can receive the ball.
Yeah.
Now, when you watch Modric play, the ball was always coming back to him.
Yeah.
Because he was in the position before the ball got there.
Mm.
Right? And that's the problem, actually, with Pogba. I'm going off the beaten track a bit.
I refuse to talk about Pogba again in my life.
Okay. Well, I'll just mention one thing. He's no positional sense, though. Right? Yeah. So, therefore, even a stop clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
The ball will come to him a certain time, but he doesn't make the ball come to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the end of Pogba.
But, What other midfielders do you like at the moment, along with Modric? Does anyone jump out? Like, because we're kind of past the Xavi Iniesta era.
Yeah, I think the best young player I've seen is the lad playing for Wales. Ampadu, is it?
Yes,
he could have played for us.
Yeah,
I think he against us, Joe, a few weeks ago, he couldn't play in the last match. Yeah. He was absolutely outstanding.
17.
He was shown in the position. See, it's positional sense, Joe. Mm. Can you get into a position to receive the ball? It's no good having a load of ability if you don't get the ball.
Yeah.
So it's getting deep to receive it and turn on it. See, there's two things now. A lot of the midfield players are getting ahead of the ball. Mm. So when the ball comes to them, they're facing their own goal and they're going to pass it back.
Mm.
I see it so many times that turn on the ball. You've got to get turned on the ball. It's only common sense to get at the opposition. He was the best I've seen at it as a young player now. I think he's got a real chance to be a top player of what I've seen him that day.
Interesting, yeah.
But you look at the England team, Joe, they don't have a midfield player.
Yeah.
They don't have a midfield player. I mean, they played with one recognised midfield player in the World Cup, in Henderson, and he won't turn on the ball at all.
And in the game they lost in, that inability to kind of get on the ball, it caught them in the end.
I've never seen a team, a successful team, without having a good midfield. Because everything goes through them. The midfield connect the back to the front. The full backs are defenders and the centre halves are defenders. They win the ball, then you have to have somebody there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When I played for Leeds, my job, Bremner's job, if Norman Hunter got it, he'd done his stuff, now he's got to give it to me.
Yeah.
And Revy used to say to Norman, now Norman, when you win it, you give it to the players that can play. Used to drive Norman.
Yeah,
how you have a team.
No, I hear you. And so one last one, because I want to get your thoughts on Spurs and City. What did you make of the game? But so, you're talking about playing against Arsenal and you're being pressed in.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were lots of occasions where you wanted to get on the ball, but maybe you shouted back to Jack Charlton, do you know what, give it long, it's not on.
Didn't have to shout that to Jack Charlton. Okay,
don't give it long. But you know what I mean? Were there times where you said, I'm not on, go long?
Of course.
So you wouldn't take it under any circumstance.
But you see, when you're playing with good players, Joe, they wouldn't give it to you unless it was on.
They'd see the picture.
They'd see the picture. Yeah. But my job, and Bremner's job, I'm talking about my job now, was to make the space. Even in a tough game, I couldn't say, Peter Story's going to mark me and I won't be. You just had to do it. But the other thing was having the ability that when it was played in a tight area, to get out of it.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's a plus when somebody's coming tight on you. Because if you play a little 1-2, he's out of the game. So that's all. You can use that in your favour. And also, you have to have the mentality, if Peter Story gets the ball, I'm going to make his life hell.
Yes, sure.
That's not going to be a one-way ticket.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you had to do. Because if you win the ball, Joe, it's the same as beating a player. Like, once you win the ball from somebody, it's the same as beating a player. So all that comes into it, you know. It's an attitude of mind.
No, totally. What did you make of Spurs and City then, the game itself? How are they
looking? I was disappointed in it, Joe.
Even with the pitch?
Even with the pitch, yeah. I thought City were poor. I thought Mendy had a nightmare. Walker had a nightmare. Sterling had a nightmare. It wasn't good. They were probably just good enough to win it. But they need to bring De Bruyne back. He's the only, and he's not playing, actually, even with the players that they have. Fernandinho will not get on the ball. He's regarded as the holding midfield player. He does that job pretty well. But there's loads of times he should be on the ball. David Silva is a terrific player, but he doesn't play as a midfield player. And Bernard Silva doesn't play as a midfield player. Neither of them get on the ball. So there's a lack of connection. When De Bruyne plays, he can do it.
Okay.
He's one of the few players that can really, really do it. Spurs have nobody to do it.
Yeah.
Spurs weren't good themselves. I mean, they weren't good enough to beat them, but it wasn't a good... I was disappointed in the match. I know the pitch came into it, but I wouldn't blame the pitch. There was a lot of bad passing, apart from the pitch. I didn't think the pitch was that bad, to be quite honest.
Okay.
But I was disappointed in the game itself, the actual class and lack of class in the game. I think City haven't come back to their best. I think there's still some players still a bit tired from the World Cup and all those various things. And Spurs, you don't know. I mean, Spurs don't have a midfield, right? They've got Dyer. Dembele is okay. He's no discipline about him. Wanyama sometimes plays, and Eriksen doesn't play as a midfield player. He's creative in certain areas of the pitch, but what you want from a midfield player is to link the back to the front. That's the big thing, and they've nobody to do that.
I would presume Pochettino is looking at the situation. The stadium is a mess that they couldn't have predicted. Real Madrid are on the lookout for a manager, and he's just made some comments. He says it's the lowest I've felt mood-wise in my 5 years here.
Yeah.
Madrid looks like it could get into a messy few years there. They have to rebuild a team, but he might think to himself, I mightn't get the offer again in 2-3 years' time.
Well, I think he's making noises towards.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he's saying it's low as I fell for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's no coincidence, Joe, that they've just sacked the manager and there's lots of talk about him. Maybe has been approached already.
He was in the summer and said no.
Yeah.
But maybe he didn't see this season going the way it's gone and not signing any players. And
I wonder, did he say no, Joe?
Apparently he did. It's fairly concrete that he was approached and said, no. I want to stay. You're not so sure?
I'm surprised at that because, I mean, they were never going to spend money unless he was promised that Levy was going to spend money.
Yeah.
But you see, he said at the end of last season, Joe, this is when Madrid, before he signed the contract, I think the chairman... has been very brave. Now, he said, first of all, I think you should get, we've got to spend some money. That's what he was saying. He had a right go, actually, at the chairman.
Yeah.
We've got to spend money. We've got to be brave. We've got to spend money.
Yeah.
And then he didn't spend any money. And then he signed a 5-year contract, which was quite a lucrative contract, from what we believe. And then at the start of the season, he said to the press, no, you got it all, you got me all wrong. I meant the chairman was brave not to buy any players. Now, this is total nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's and then I don't know, because things are not good there. They have the stadium is a big problem to them.
So that's now pushed back to next season. That's gone for this year.
That's the big problem, because they won't have the money. They haven't bought any players, anything. And you need a big squad nowadays to do it. So I'd say if I'm only guessing now, if he could go to Madrid now, he'd go. And if I was an advisor, I'd advise him to go.
Would you?
But you see, the chairman is very smart businessman. He's tied him up to a 5-year contract.
And he won't let him go easily.
You're joking. No way. he'd want blood. But he is making noises now.
Yeah.
As if he's very disheartened with the whole situation. Now, a while ago, he wasn't disheartened with the situation. But as you said, Madrid have lost the manager. So it's fairly concrete now that they would be in for him. I think they will be in for him. And it might not be the end of it, you know.
Okay. We're taking a very short break. More with John in just a quick second.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now, you're welcome back. We're here with John Giles. We're live on Facebook. We're obviously on the radio as well. So just looking ahead towards the weekend, Liverpool play Arsenal at the Emirates at 5:30. And you were saying they're City, maybe not quite back to their best. Are you liking what you're seeing from Liverpool? Like, they steamrolled Cardiff, no stress at the weekend. Salah's back scoring. They're going to stick around to the end.
If City don't do it, I think obviously Liverpool are the next in line.
Yeah.
But a couple of weeks ago they played Huddersfield, Joe.
Yeah.
They were terrible in that match. You know, they didn't play all that well. See, the way Liverpool go if they're not go, they don't have much else. Mm. Again, they're lacking a midfield.
Are they?
Oh, definitely. I mean, who's the creator of midfield for them? Milner's good at what he does. Mm. Wijnaldum is good.
They've caved it. The new fella caved.
Yeah, but he plays on the left side.
Yeah.
Joe. He's not going to dictate the game. He's not going to give them that force that De Bruyne gives to City when he is playing. Mm. Or the Modric. You know, there's not many Modrics around.
Yeah.
They don't have it. Like, Milner's good. I love Milner. He's a great pro. Good at what he does. He's a worker.
Yeah.
And Henderson. I don't rate Henderson at all.
Yeah.
And Keita,
yeah,
he's come in, but he's not. So unless the go is working,
yes,
they're very little to fall back on.
Mm.
Now, what they have done, they've strengthened the defence, got a new goalkeeper. They're not conceding goals like they did in the bad days. You know, they conceded very few goals, which is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
But that extra bit in the middle of the field, they don't have.
So if they had a De Bruyne,
then he could link it all together with the lads they have up front. There's certain days they can't link that up.
Yes.
And actually, they can look poor.
Yeah.
But there's a great attitude about him. I always said he was a one-trick pony with a very good trick.
Mm.
But now he's got a defence. He's got a good goalkeeper. Is it Gomez who's come into the team now?
Alisson and Van Dijk in defence.
Van Dijk and Robertson.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a good defence now. I'm not so sure of the right back.
Gomez.
No, not Gomez. I think he's
Alexander Arnold.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too sure. He's good going forward, but I wouldn't be sure. But he has it tightened up that defence.
Yeah.
I mean, this year they've only conceded, I think, 3 goals.
3 or 4, yeah.
Right now. So they're winning matches now without the other lads doing well.
Yeah, so they don't need to score 2 as much anymore, or 3.
When they were playing last year with Klopp,
yeah.
When they say, I remember they said we're 2 up and then they draw 2-2, actually he was concentrating on the chances they missed.
Mm.
Rather than concentrating on, because all the great teams, Joe, they don't play well every week,
yeah.
But they don't concede anything. Like, you can win the match 1-0, there's no problem with that.
Mm.
If the defence is, you know, the forwards are not taking the chances, you can still win 1-0. That's what all the great teams have done in the past. And that's what they're doing now,
yeah.
Which is very, very good. It's very, very good for City. But I think they need that extra thing in the middle of the field, that there's a creative force.
And on Arsenal, so Unai Emery's in. I know you love stats, so I'll bore you with one.
Yeah.
Like, they're obviously very good going forward at the moment and scoring lots of goals. One of the interesting thing was, I think they were the third or fourth worst in the league in terms of the number of shots against them in a game. So in their 10 games so far, there's been 141 shots. You're talking 14, 15 shots a game conceded. And Paul Merson was saying it, different people were saying it. They can't keep going like that. They can't have that many shots against them defensively. They're giving up a bit too much.
Yeah.
And Merson's point, who was just speaking in the last day or two, is why I bring it up. He was saying they're going to find their comeuppance against a really good team. Liverpool this weekend is the first really good team they've played in a while.
Yeah. Well, obviously he's made a very, very good start,
yeah.
Joe. Again, I'd want to see them playing a good team. Mm. I mean, I still don't believe in Ozil. I don't believe in Xhaka. I just don't believe in them. I think I saw them against Leicester last week. Leicester could have been three up at half time.
That was the point almost, yeah.
Well, you're not going to get away with that. I would agree with him there. You don't get away with that every week, Joe. Yeah. I mean, now and again you get away. But I think they've had a good run. I don't think they've really played any team of great quality. So they've got to play against them, yeah. But to give him credit, he has got the results.
Because they lost to Chelsea and City, if you remember, in his first two games. And you couldn't judge him too much in his first two games. And then they've had this run, and now it's Liverpool. And so that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously their confidence is up. But you saw last week he took Ozil off against Crystal Palace, wasn't it? And he played Xhaka at left back. So, you'd have to say he's done a good job with what he has at this particular stage.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be confident of them, Joe.
Okay.
I really wouldn't. I want to see a lot more of them than we've seen so far.
Fair enough. A sort of philosophical question for you. Arsene Wenger was talking in the last few days and he said he's going to make a return to management at the beginning of next year. He's not quite sure where yet, but he said the beginning of 2019. And I'm wondering, do you expect wherever he goes, and it's difficult without knowing where he's going to go, I appreciate, but do you expect him to do a good job? I suppose what I'm asking is, he was at one stage doing a great job and a great manager. And yet at some stage, it seems, I don't know if you agree with this, the game can pass people by. Do you agree with, when people said the game has passed Clough by, or the game has passed someone by, a great manager, has the game passed a Wenger by? Can that happen? Because it never passed Ferguson by, but he brought in people a lot to kind of keep things fresh.
You see, you have to go back on the history of Wenger's career.
Yeah.
You see, he was neck and neck with Ferguson at one stage. He had a great team, right? Now, that doesn't happen by accident, Joe. You don't lose that.
You don't think you lose it?
No. Circumstances change.
Okay.
And the circumstances changed in Wenger because he believed in a different philosophy for the club than Ferguson did. Mm. Ferguson believed, I don't care what debt we're in, I'm going to get the best players. Mm. Wenger did the opposite. Mm. Wenger said, we have to have a wage cap. We're building a new stadium. What he did at Arsenal was phenomenal. Look at Spurs now. He moved to a new stadium, Joe, with hundreds of thousands, millions in the bank.
Yeah.
If he wasn't buying the best players, Joe, which he wasn't, then he's going to look old-fashioned. Mm. Like, old-fashioned is what? You know what I mean?
That's what I'm asking you.
I think anybody's philosophy on the game is what it is. But it's down to players. You have to have the players, Joe.
Would Clough do well today?
I think he would. You see, the management, and they all have different qualities.
Yeah.
Like, if you take all the great managers of that time, if you take Wenger and Fergie, Brian Clough, who was before that, Matt Busby, Stan Cullis, and all these great managers, Ramsey and that, none of them were alike. None of them. There wasn't two of any, right?
Mm.
So Clough, my experience with Clough was amazing in that he was casual or appeared to be casual in what he'd get out and play.
Yeah.
But what I've learned in football, you're better saying too little than too much. Right? Mm. You're the player, you go out and do it. Right? But he did give them the freedom to play and the courage to play. Like, when I was under Clough, and he had this personality, Joe, which was amazing. I didn't like him.
No, I know.
But I wanted to play for him. It's a personality thing with managers as well. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I remember talking to Peter Broadbent, who was a great Wolves player in their day, about Stan Cullis, who was one of the great managers. And I said, what was Cullis like? She was a great manager. He was the biggest so-and-so I ever met in my life. So it's like, you can't say the one manager did that, the other manager. They're great in their own way, and their personality comes into it. in a big way. They have to dominate. They have to dominate. You know what I mean? You can't be. You see, this is what I can't understand with the Conte thing at Chelsea. They don't like him. He made us do this. He made us do that. He made them win the league and the cup in two seasons. And Conte said, "I'm not here to please people," which he wasn't. Now it's gone to Madrid. They don't want him because that's nonsense.
It's the way the game's gone, though, which is terrible.
No, it's always been like that, Joe. It's always been.
But I think players have more power now. Maybe that's the difference.
Well, yeah. Well, that could be power, could be a thing, or they could be. No, we don't want to do it. Or their attitude might be. See, I don't blame Conte for what happened to Chelsea. I blame the players.
Sure. Yeah, no, totally.
Even the press, you see, the press went along with the players. Oh, he has them training too hard. He has them training. He has them doing this. He doesn't like this. And he doesn't like. They won the cup and the league.
I know.
But that's all that matters.
But look who got the sack and look who's still there.
Yeah, but does that make that doesn't make it right.
It doesn't
make it right.
Now you're
going back to the director's attitude to the game in relation to you could talk about it all night with the director of football coming into it and all that carry on. So that's a big change to what the old managers were actually in charge.
Yeah.
That's a big change in the game. But I don't think, like in Martin O'Neill's case, you see, circumstances in different clubs change.
Sure.
Joe. You know, like you get players, like I remember, what was the lad that went to Villa, won the league? I'll think of his name in a minute. He went to Manchester City, right?
Yeah.
Didn't last 3 months, 4 months, because he was taken over from Alisson and they had Franny Lee and that. Got sacked.
Yeah.
And went to Villa and did a great job. So there are different clubs that you can go to in different ways. You know, things do change in football. You know, the manager might have the right ideas for that, but the players won't take to it. You know what I mean?
No, totally.
But I don't think it's the game passing them by.
Okay. Interesting. I haven't got to half what I was meant to talk to you about. We've gone on too long already. So Nathan can
I've gone
up.
On too long.
No, it was interesting. I was very curious about that. And do you know, it'll be interesting to see how Wenger gets on actually in his second life.
But it depends who he takes over.
Of course it does, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's we not
don't
just
know where,
about
we don't
him.
Know where he's going to go. But if he goes with a team that has defenders, you see, what he did wasn't a fluke, Joe. Like, he won the cup and he won the league and they won the league without winning. That doesn't just happen to Joe Bloggs, right? The big change was the change that he made in the financial sector. Now, the next club he goes into, because he's only been to one club that we know of, was Arsenal. There could be a lot of good players there that he's just the right man for.
Yeah.
You know, the right man has to be the right man in any particular situation.
I'd quite like to see him do it and do well.
I would too.
It'd be good for his legacy, wouldn't it?
I think as time goes by, he'd be regarded as one of the great managers, definitely. Mm. And there'll be a statue up to him at Arsenal, quite rightly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see what he does in 2019. He said himself he's not sure where he's going to pitch up, but we'll see. Listen, pleasure. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Joe.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.